The shooting at Fort Hood in 2009 was an episode in political correctness. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
In 2009, Islamic terrorist Major Nidal Malik Hassan, an army psychiatrist with malice aforethought, gunned down 13 military personnel and attempted to murder 32 others at Fort Hood, Texas. Now, while he was in the process of shooting indiscriminately at the military personnel gathered in the cafeteria, he was heard yelling, "Allah Akbar," which means Allah is great. Now, shortly after the massacre, Obama came out to report to the nation that while the event was terrible, it was nothing more than workplace violence. In spite of the alleged connections to Islam and that Hassan allegedly was inspired by a member of Al-Qaeda in Yemen by the name of Anwar Awlaki, an American who was later killed in a U.S. drone strike. Now, I guess shouting praise to Allah while killing innocent people does not by itself mean that you're a terrorist, although there's good reason to believe it does. But if you defend the Constitution and demand your rights that are given because of it, well, you just might be a terrorist, even if you never harm another individual. Since Hassan's arrest and imprisonment, there have been a number of attempts by Hassan's lawyers to draw out the proceedings, including the situation involving his beard. Now, finally, justice has been served to an extent. He was found guilty recently and sentenced to death. But the tragedy, aside from the murders and attempted murders of our military people here within the borders of the United States, is that Hassan is being catered to by a politically correct, and maybe we should make that corrupt, administration and others who would like us to believe that Hassan's terrible act of cowardice and murder has nothing to do with Islam and everything to do with the man who cracked in the workplace. Numerous efforts to have the situation reclassified as terrorism have been consistently denied by the Pentagon, such as how the politically correct craft their lies. And because they hold the bulk of power now, they have the microphone, they're essentially free to do what they want to do. They're backed by the media, who share the same mindset and mission to prop up relativistic truth, quote-unquote, via political correctness. Now, I fully believe that this world is heading toward the judgment of the coming tribulation. I also realize that there are many who think that holding to this viewpoint that I just enumerated is ridiculous. Well, they're entitled to their viewpoint, and obviously, in this matter, time will be the vindicator. However, it would be nice to be able to overcome the travesties that have created or been created by those within the politically correct arena. Though in my heart, I wonder if God's going to allow it because so much water has passed under the bridge. He's had many times, many opportunities to change the course of society, and he's not done so. Not because he can't, but apparently because he won't. It simply appears to me, and many others, that political correctness being what it is, the Obama administration, as well as many other areas within our society, are doing their level best to overturn and eliminate absolute truth with their relativism in order to tear down the values upon which this country was founded. Yes, I've said that before. You've heard me say it before, but it bears repeating. The thing that really stands out is how these politically correct charlatans can lie as they do and as often as they do with a straight face. Even when their lies become known as lies that they are, they continue on that path of lying, refusing to acknowledge that they are liars and that their entire premise is built on a lie. A while ago, a reporter asked Jay Carney, President Obama's press secretary, whether or not Obama was going to pull back on all of his expensive golf outings and vacations now that sequestration was in the mix, and this is, of course, before sequestration hit. Carney's response was obviously duplicitous, but presented in a way that was supposed to allow no one to question it. He essentially stated that Obama is always thinking about the situation that America faces. There is not a time when it does not occupy his mind. Well, that's my paraphrase, of course, but the response to that is, so, thinking about something and doing something about it are two different things. Now, we know from a complete lack of action from the White House that Obama does not take the situation with sequestration seriously. We know when he takes the situation seriously, don't we? Because he does everything he can to get people to agree with his point of view, such as what's happening now in Syria. A budget won't be coming from the White House, and it never came in on time. Yet by law, it was supposed to have been submitted by the White House in February. Now, the media would not have allowed Bush to get away with that. But because of the amount of politically correct news bureaus that exist, it's easy to let it slide when it concerns Obama because he is in the same camp as the news bureaus. And I'm not saying that Bush was a perfect president. Far from it. Well, it's from this reason that these same news bureaus are ignoring the Fort Hood situation. Consistently, they're not demanding that the event be reclassified a terrorist event. They're not siding against Obama in his labeling of the event a workplace violence. They're not siding against him when he says, oh, it was just workplace violence. They go along with it. And by the same token, they're not questioning the Obama administration's decision to allow, for instance, Saudi citizens to bypass normal aspects of airport security that all Americans are subject to. This is in spite of the fact that 15 of the 19 original 9/11 hijackers came from Saudi Arabia. They're not questioning these things because those news bureaus are firmly ensconced within the exact same politically correct arena as are Obama and his administration. Right now, they have the power, and it's difficult to get anyone's attention because of it. When we're able to get their attention, it's fairly easy for them to slide it back under the rug. But tell me, why should anyone be given special status to avoid having to submit to security requirements of the TSA at airports if they're not even citizens of this country? If citizens of this country have to undergo the strict rules that the TSA has in place, then why should anyone who is not a citizen of this country be exempt? Certainly a Marine should not be required to remove his prosthesis and then be forced to stand effectively on his knees while some less than clueless or uncaring TSA agent swabs down his wheelchair. This is what political correctness does. It promotes not justice, and we've discussed that many times. It promotes some type of artificial equality. Yet the way it accomplishes this is not by generating equality for all people, but by artificially creating a greater equality for some while ignoring others due to perceived slights for those within that elevated group. There is no good or fair reason that the Fort Hood massacre should be considered merely workplace violence when it is clearly terrorism within our own borders. Timothy McVeigh was guilty of terrorism, and there was no problem calling it that. But then again, he was a white male. So that alone makes it easier to do under the unwritten laws of political correctness. In spite of the fact that since 9/11, Islamists have carried out close to 21,000 attacks throughout the world, the Obama administration has deemed it important to allow Saudi citizens to bypass TSA security at U.S. airports. Moreover, the Obama administration has also refused to classify the Fort Hood massacre as an act of terrorism, preferring the more benign workplace violence. Yet in all the acrimonious testimony related to the recent gun control legislation that the Obama administration and many people in Congress wanted to ram through, not once did anyone from the Obama administration elect to refer to this workplace violence in which a gun was used to kill 13 people and wound 32 more. They didn't bring it up. Why? What was the problem? After all, if it was only workplace violence, what's the problem? It was an act of terror by an Islamic terrorist who is still receiving full pay as an army psychiatrist. That may have changed since his conviction and sentencing, and who knows how long it'll take for all the, you know, rebuttals to go through and retrials and everything else. Political correctness is a terrible thing. It creates a counterfeit reality that simply mocks true reality. It sets up unwritten fake rules and guidelines for castigating one race or group of people while upholding other races or other groups of people. It accomplishes nothing good but engenders fear and self-loathing for non-minorities while creating a special privileged place for those who are considered minorities. And it doesn't have to just be the color of a person's skin. It could be the gay and lesbian movement for that. For all that matter. It's because of political correctness that we are living in a world that Isaiah saw years ago. He said in Isaiah 5:20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." That's Isaiah 5:20. In the same way, Paul, writing to Timothy, warned that in the end times, the world would become horrible. This would be so because it has been the attempt of humanity to exchange God's truth for a lie at every turn, and it started in the Garden of Eden. That's where it began, and it will carry us through to the end. In 2 Timothy 3:13, Paul says this, quote, "But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." This is what we are experiencing now. This country is being guided largely by evil men and women who want one thing, to exchange the truth of God for a lie. This is best accomplished using what has become known as political correctness. Political correctness uses terms and phrases that appear to be couched in logic and truth, but in reality, it's all simply another form of lying. And present it in a way that makes it difficult for the hearer to reject it without being labeled a bigot, a sexist, a racist, or all three and even more. The goal is to shut down the opposition so that political correctness can do its work of destruction. It has been at work since the early 1900s and came to the surface during the tumultuous 1960s. Since that time, it has shown tremendous gains in society, until we are now at the point where it appears to have the minds of the majority. Christians must resist it because it's a lie. In Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, he takes time to point out the events as they will unfold in the end times. He comes to a point where he essentially lays out the facts and then summarizes it with this one statement, quote, "For this reason," and we need to go back and say, "For what reason?" I'll let you read that. For what reason? Paul says, "For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false." 2 Thessalonians 2:11. The natural question to ask is, for what reason? And what is the deluding influence Paul is referring to here? Well, if we look at the verses just prior to verse 11, we note that the people Paul refers to here in 2 Thessalonians 2:11 do the exact same thing the people in Romans 1 do. Quote, "They perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved." That's 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. Folks, this is where we're heading. People perish because they prefer lies to the truth. It's always been the same throughout history. People do not want God's absolute truth. They want lies because lies tickle the ears and make people feel good. That is our show for today. Thank you so much for joining me. I pray until we meet again that God will open your eyes and show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.